All right. Ooh. Not allowing enough mouth as it is. Little funny. Some of you older folks will know something that goes kind of hand in hand with this by two clowns that used to be around. It's called The Story of Four People. This is the story of four people named Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was asked to do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. Consequently, it wound up that nobody told anybody, so everybody blamed somebody. Can you think something goes along with that? Who's on first and what's on second? I don't know who's on third. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. We have a Bible conference in November down in our neck of the woods. We're a suburb of Charlotte, North Carolina, 20 miles northeast of Charlotte. November the 9th, 10th, and 11th. Second weekend in November. And the theme title this year is Coming to Visions and Revelations. We're going to try to advertise it and try to get some of the local people in the area that might think visions and revelations are good things, and maybe they'll come in and learn something. So royalgracebc.com, you can find information on that if you'd like to be a part of it. Now, am I supposed to touch this? All right, 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 1, verse 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Think about the verse. Your faith toward Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. This people, the people of Thessalonica, the people of Thessalonica, the Thessalonian people, their salvation caused them to sound out the word of the Lord. So for the next little while, I want to talk to you and sound out some facts about the Lord Jesus Christ provided all we need. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We pray, Lord, that now for the next few minutes you'll help us with your spirit, that we'll see the truth of your word. And Father, that we will go away from here encouraged, more determined to be all that we can be, to bring honor, glory, and praise to you. In the name that's above every name, we pray these things. Amen. In Titus chapter number 1, I'll just go through this. I've got these verses printed here, and I'll go through them with you, and then we will get into some verses here in just a moment. If you will, you can turn to 1 Peter chapter number 1. Titus chapter 1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me, according to the commandment of God our Savior. When you think about what he says there, you see it all started before the world began. And Paul says that. He said, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. And then 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse 7, the verse over there talks about, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And then if you got 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Now, when you think about what God's doing with the nation of Israel, and the little flock, and you think about what's going to be going on over here and on forward, and then you think about what's going on in the dispensation of grace where we're at, folks, it all centers around the cross. If it's not for the cross, nobody has any hope at all. You have what you have because of what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross. And I want to take a look at that today. It was really the manifold wisdom of God set in order before the world began, because God had a plan. We learn from the book of Isaiah. Turn to Isaiah chapter number 49. We learn from the book of Isaiah, Lucifer developed a sin problem. He wanted to be like the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and he failed. He rejected God's word, he rejected God's way, and he walked after his own desires and after what he wanted. And I'll tell you, if you can remember that and remember his fall and think about that, it might help you if you ever desire that you want to go about your own way, and it'll keep you standing where you ought to stand. Your works will never cause you to lose your salvation. I appreciate the messages so far today and the messages yesterday. It's not I, as Brother Ted said last night. It's Christ. And it's not us. It is Christ. God had a plan. God's got a purpose. And you and I fit into that purpose. In Genesis chapter number 3, as the serpent shows up, walking in his rebellion against God Almighty, after the man that God created to subdue the earth, and Adam sold out to the devil. He just sold right out to him. And then you think about Noah's children as they come along. Noah's children, they eventually failed God, and they were scattered abroad. And from all those, God chose a man by the name of Abraham and brings him out to be the leader of a nation. He's coming out, and God says, I'll make a mighty nation of you, a great nation. Galatians chapter number 2:20, the Bible says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's not I, but it's Christ. And God takes Abraham, and he's going to form this nation out of him. God had a purpose. God had a plan. God's doing something. And the children of Israel come along. I draw on a board. I'm not a good artist, but I draw on a board. Jesus comes along eventually from Abraham. And I don't write very well at all. Abraham comes along. Jesus comes along. The 12. Those 12 tribes, they're here. They're coming along and they're going on. And God has a plan. God has a purpose. This nation, you know, back when Moses leads them out of Egypt, everything God tells us, we'll do. Everything God says, we're going to do it. I hope you don't feel like that. But that's the way they felt, and they thought they were going to do it, and boy, they failed miserably, didn't they? Satan comes along with his policy of evil against God, and he wants to be like the Most High God. He comes against Adam, knocks him down. Comes against Noah's children, he knocks them down. Comes along against the nation of Israel, and what does he do? Knocks them down too. So, when you come to Isaiah 49, you find a group of people who couldn't do what they said they could do, and now Satan also has them. Isaiah 49, verse number 24. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? The mighty, there's the devil. The lawful captive is the nation of Israel. And they're lawfully captive. They failed. They are lawfully, they're captive to the devil. But notice what verse 25 says. But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. And I will feed them that oppress thee. And you read on right down through the passage. Look at the last part of the verse. And all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am the Savior of thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. And you know that Jacob's name was changed and it becomes Israel. And you see, not only did he fight for Israel and pay their sin debt, but we now know by the due time testifier that he paid for the sin. He contended with Satan for the sins of the world. And when you think about what he accomplished on the cross, that's what I want to talk to you about a little bit for the next little while. Go to Psalms chapter number 22. I'm sure you've watched cartoons. You've seen things growing up. Maybe you've watched those superhero programs where it seems like the bad guys always got somebody on his side, always got people trying to be sneaky and crooked and trying to do things underhandedly just to win. Well, I tell you, Satan got a lot of people working for him. They don't realize they're doing it, but they're doing it. They're on his side because they're working and walking after his policy of evil. And what would you expect them to do? They're lost. They're walking along and they need the light to shine. And that's who we are. And we'll get to that point here in a few moments. But when you think about Jesus Christ and you think about what he suffered on the cross, I want to go through some of these verses with you. I hope that you understand what he went through. I hope that you understand some of these things. And as I talk about these things, I talk to several people. I'm sure you probably have. And you ever been talking to somebody and they say, "Well, you know, I think I'm just going to go to hell and have a party with my friends." You ever heard somebody say that to you? Can you imagine what they're going to face? When we go through this, I want you to think about what Jesus Christ actually went through. Now, they think they're going to go to hell and have a party with their friends, and the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. But here you got a righteous man. You got God in flesh. God in flesh suffers by his own creation. And when you think about what he suffered and what he went through, and then you got somebody that's a sinner and they're going to go to hell and have a party with their friends, well, they need to sue their brain for non-support. I mean, they do. Because their brain is not supporting them at all. Psalm 22, go there with me. And that undesigned coincidences. When you think about what we just listened to and heard, and when you think about what you read in the book of Psalms 22, I began to think about some of that when he was teaching. Psalms 22, it's a picture of things that you read in the book of Matthew. Things you read over there in Matthew, and you read over there in the book of John. You read in the book of Isaiah. You read in the other books, chapters in Psalm. You read about these things that you have here listed in this psalm and how you find them in other places in the Bible. How those things, this is a perfect book. Thank God for his word. Verse number 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You can find that in Matthew 27, verse 46. Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praise of Israel. Notice, all this is about the Messiah to the nation of Israel. But as we go through this and you see these sufferings, folks, don't ever forget about the due time testifier. Paul, how he brings back and he talks about how this cross work, thank God, is not just for Israel. He died on that cross. He was buried and he rose again the third day. And through his finished cross work today, folks, even you and I, members, using this Duke blue, but it will be Carolina blue, but you can't see it good if I use Carolina blue. Members of the body of Christ, folks, today, in the dispensation of the grace of God, you and I have eternal salvation as well. But listen to this cross work and listen to what he suffers here as you look through this passage. Verse number 4, our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. When you think about what he says there, go to Isaiah 66. Isaiah chapter number 66, and you look over here in Isaiah 66 and you read this thing and you look as the kingdom takes place and the kingdom is going on after the judgment of the nations. You have that wrath that comes along. And then you have the kingdom over here. As they go into the kingdom over here, this time period, there's a shaft open up into hell. And they're able to go over and look off down into that shaft down in the hell, and they're able to see the souls of men that have died without God. Some of them thought it was going to go to hell and have a party with their friends. Probably going to be down there. They're going to realize it's not the party they thought it was going to be. And they're going to look off down in there, these people of the kingdom, and look down in there and be able to see what's going on. And here's a picture of what they see. Isaiah 66, verse 24. And they shall go forth and look unto the carcass, upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? You die and go to hell, you lose your soul. You lose the identity of who you are. And their worms here, they're there. They're dying the second death. He says here, well, when it's all cast into the lake of fire. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcass of men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched. You can read about that over there in Mark chapter number 9 as well. And they shall be an abhorrence to all flesh. Now, when you think about that, and you think about them looking off down in there, and then you think about the statement that's made in Psalm 22, prophecy of what's going to happen, prophecy made back here of what's going to happen before it ever happens, and you have the picture of it here. But I am a worm, back in Psalm 22, verse 6. Psalm 22, verse 6, but I am a worm. You see, what happens is, what's the wages of sin? So everybody here has to die. And Jesus Christ dies your death. That's why Romans chapter 6 says we're baptized into his death. Why? The wages of sin is death. You got to die. He died your death. As he hangs here and he's a worm that day, he's dying your death. You're taken back and you're baptized into the death of Christ. Buried with him, resurrected with him, to walk in newness of life in the body of Christ, the one new man, not the 12 tribes, but the one new man. We walk in newness of life. And we know that because of the due time testifier again. Verse number 7. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. Verse 7 is, you can read about it over there in Matthew 27, verse 29 and 30. And verse number 8, you can read in Matthew 27, verse 43. He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. Can you just imagine the creator of mankind, the creator of the universe, hanging between heaven and earth? He sees all this going on. He has no help. He has no one there. I mean, even the Father at one point leaves him alone. Satan's got all his henchmen running around the cross, laughing, scorning, pointing, hee-hawing. Christ is there alone. Verse number 9. Let's drop to verse 11. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. You ought to read Psalm 69, about verses 16 down through verse 22 or somewhere for that verse. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many, many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round about. They gape upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. There's a bunch of details I'm passing over, just reading through this stuff. Verse 12, a lot of detail there about the strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They're all around the cross that day as he's hanging between heaven and earth. And I understand this is prophecy of what's going to happen. But my friend, this is exactly what takes place when he hangs between heaven and earth. Verse 14. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. You ever been so thirsty you just couldn't, you just had to have something to drink? In a hot day working, mouth dry, what they call a cotton mouth. I just need some water. Can you imagine what he went through that day as he hanged there? Mouth dry, tongue cleaving to his jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. I don't know if you know anything about crucifixion on the cross. Cruel death. And we've not even went over there and read about where Pilate scourged him, beat him. We've not read over there how they punched him in the face, how they spit upon him. And I'll tell you, the movie that actor made, I can't even think of it right now. The Passion, yeah. Yeah. Y'all, anybody see that?
Yeah.
That's not the extent of the way he was beat. He was beat beyond that. He was beat beyond that, my friend. Listen to me. He was beat so bad. And his back, can you imagine how his back must have been with the cat of nine tails when they take that thing and they bow and then they jerk it back. And bow and jerk it back. And he's hanging there strapped to where his feet are just barely touching the floor. Then they take him out and they put him on the cross. When you die on a cross, you die by suffocation. Put those nails in his feet, hanging there, and he's hanging. He gets to where he can't breathe, so he has to push up with those feet, get him a good deep breath, breathing, and then his feet get to where they just can't take the pressure, and he goes back down. And he's hanging there, and he gets to where he can't breathe again, and he goes back up. And he's breathing. And he gets to where he can't breathe. And you know, his feet just can't take the pressure. And he goes back down. But what you don't fail a lot of times to think about is his back that is beat to a bloody pulp and just ripped and tore from the whip. It's just rubbing up and down that old rugged cross. Rubbing up and down. And if the creator of the universe is going through that, and some stupid sinner says, I'm going to go to hell and have a party. Whew. What plane did they fall out of? Christ loved you. He died for you. He loved his creation. And he met Satan that dark day. Everything Satan had, he throwed at Jesus Christ that day. He throwed it all at him. And Christ is hanging there. Look at verse number 16. Let's read verse 15 down. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. I've sat and thought about these verses. And when I read these verses, for dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked hath enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. Verse 17, I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. Can you imagine your flesh being cut so bad that your bones are exposed and that you can see your bones? I've thought about this, about the Jews and all things in the passage. Verse 17, I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. Hold your finger right here and look at Isaiah 52. Isaiah chapter number 52. when I think about the love of God in Christ Jesus, when you get Psalms 52, go ahead and drop back to 50, Psalms 50. Psalm 50 and Psalm 52. Chapter 50 first, look at verse 5 and 6. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. You read it right there. The back was beat. He hid not his face from shame and spitting. Now look at chapter 52, Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52 and verse number 14. As many were astonished at thee, his visage, his view, his appearance, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Can you just imagine the beating that he took that day? I mean, Psalms 102 talks about it as well. Go back over to Psalms 22. And notice this. I'm going to have to move on. But just wanting for you to think about this cross work that day. Verse 16. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. There's another quote. Be not far from me, O Lord, O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorn. When you think about all these things Christ suffered, folks, listen. The serpent, Satan, the devil, he throwed everything he had at Jesus Christ that day. But with all his help and his deceivingness, he still was defeated by Jesus Christ single-handedly that day on the cross. Jesus Christ contended with the devil for Israel, but he also contended for us as well. When I think about that, Luke 22, verse 53 talks about, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. It was a power of darkness that day on the cross. It was a dark day. But I'm glad that Jesus Christ went through what he went through. Look at Romans chapter number 3. Romans chapter 3 gives you a picture of the crosswork of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 3, and this was put up on the board last night as well. Good passage. Just want you to look at this point of it. Let's just start at verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, and to all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I don't know about you, but I'm probably in the flesh. I'm probably the most unrighteous person in here. But thank God in Christ. Thank God in Christ. You're not any better than I am. I'm not any better than you are. Thank God in Christ. We are the body of Christ. But when it comes to your flesh, remember what was said last night? It's not I, but Christ. And the reason you say that is because of what he accomplished that day. And you have this passage, your apostle, the apostle Paul says, verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, he was faithful. His faith in the Father, he was faithful. He accomplished the cross work. He defeated the adversary. That dark day when Satan thought he had it. I think I read somewhere in a book where somebody had wrote about it, said, said the first day the devil comes along, said, "Death, you got him." "Oh yeah, I got him." Wasn't long, next day he comes along, he says, "You still got him?" Satan says, "Oh, you got him, Death, you got him." He says, "Oh, I got him." About the third day he comes along, he says, "You still got him?" He said, "Oh no." He said, "My hand's kind of slipping a little bit." Death couldn't hold him because he was a sinless son of God. And thank God he resurrected on the third day. And because of that, he says in verse 22, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Everybody here today sinned and come short of the glory of God. The question is, have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the one that died your death? Verse 24, "being justified freely." Didn't cost you anything. It cost Christ a lot that day. "Being justified freely by His grace." By His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And for all those Old Testament saints, verse 25, "For God hath whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." Have you believed and trusted in Jesus? I hope you have. Because He died for your sins, He was buried, and He rose again the third day for your justification and for mine. Look with me at verse number 29. Well, verse 28, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only?" Is he? "Is he not also of the Gentiles?" "Yes, of the Gentiles also." You have to understand right division. Verse 30, "Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith." Thank God for what He done for you and I. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 3 says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." God's desire today, if you're sitting here and you're lost, you've never been saved, you've never tried, maybe you're watching by way of internet, maybe you're watching with some family or friends, or you've never been saved. The only way to be saved today is not repeating prayers, not, if you've seen what Brother Ted said last night, you've seen how he brought that out. It's all about you believing that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for your sins on the cross, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day. And your faith and trust in Him and Him alone, when you come to that point, you believe it, you trust it, God the Holy Spirit does the rest. Put your faith and trust in Him, because He died this death for you. He died it so you could live a righteous life. You see, the first question, are you saved by God's grace today? Trust in the finished cross work of Jesus Christ right now, right where you're at, whether you're home on video, no matter where you're at, trust Christ right now today. Second question, have you come to the knowledge of the truth? Then let me ask you this question, have you arrived? You know you hadn't arrived. But let me say this to you. Get Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. If you're saved today, you've not arrived. And as I said a moment ago, I'm probably the most in the flesh, I'm probably the most unrighteous man in here. But thank God in Christ Jesus, I'm holy. I'm in Christ. He's in me. And my desire is not to just keep living. Hopefully, you know, some people never look at the Bible. Some people listen to preachers all the time, but they never listen. They never read their Bible. They never even look at the verses, never even think about it. But folks, listen, what God wants for you is for this passage right here. Look at Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. This is what the Apostle Paul had to say. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. The Apostle Paul said he realized, he knows, he writes these portions of the Bible. He has revelations and visions from the Lord, and he knows these things from God. He knows what Christ paid. He knows the cost. He knows that he died, that he was buried, that he rose again. He understands the value of the cross. He understands the value of his salvation in Christ Jesus. And so often we read verses and we think about our Christian life and we go past it too quick. We don't think about it deep enough. We need to consider who we are. Consider whose Christ has made us. And he says in verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Why? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. He died your death that day. He suffered your death that day. He went through hell, through the hour of darkness. Verse 11. If by any means I might attain unto the righteousness of the dead. Excuse me, the resurrection of the dead. Verse 12, not as though I had already attained. He said, I'm not acting like I've already attained, either already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend, for that which also I am apprehended of Christ. So he was apprehended. He did have the righteousness of God. He said, I don't act like it, but I follow after it. Verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And can I say to you today, can I challenge you today just to think about that and to press toward that mark? Can I just encourage you today to think about what Christ paid and what he's done for you, and that you can just live a life to bring honor to him that paid your sin debt. Verse 15, let us therefore as many as be perfect. Are you perfect in Christ? Amen. Be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Verse 16, nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. We're not all on the same level. Wherever you're at, just live. Live for him. When it comes to the apostles, and I read some of the things in the apostles, I read some things in the Bible, I say this, no, don't misread what I'm telling you. I'm more like Peter than I am like Paul. I say things sometimes and I stick my foot right in my mouth. Maybe you're not like that. Sometimes I say things and I think about it later and I think, what? I kicked my tongue in gear before my brain ever got going. Peter done that a lot. But I know where I'm at. I know I'm in the body of Christ. I know I'm not back over here in Peter's program. I understand that. But live as who God's made you in Christ. Look what he says here. Verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me. What did Paul just say he done? Forgot those things that were behind. He pressed toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says in verse 17, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an examples. When you think about people who's quit, People who come along, Demas, I've forsaken me, having loved this present world. I think about some of them. What about Peter? I mean, listen, can you imagine being Peter? Peter's with the Lord Jesus Christ 3.5 years. Gee, he's there in the garden, and Judas comes along, and Jesus says, who seek ye? And they, Jesus, he said, I am he. And boy, they just fall down backwards. Peter says, oh, yeah. Yeah, buddy, look at the power. Oh. And then Christ just says, okay, let's go. Peter says, what? I mean, he cuts Malchus's ear off, swinging. I'm heard what Brother Richard said, and I agree with him. I believe Peter was trying to cut his head off. Peter, he was ready for the kingdom to be set up then. Peter gets in a state, boy, when he sees Christ just willingly go, and he denies the Lord. Then you know what Peter done? He quit, in a sense. He really didn't. But he reverted back to his old life. Have you reverted back to the old life? Peter said, I go fishing. And you know what those other disciples said with him? Yeah, we're going to go too, buddy. But what did he do? They left all that to follow Christ. And here they are. I'm going fishing. I'm going fishing, man. We're going to go with you. Be careful. You never know the effect your life has on somebody else's life. But then you know. You ever heard that little song? It just popped in my mind. Peter, do you love me? Go and feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Take care of the weak. I don't remember the rest of it. But anyway, Peter, he denies the Lord, but then he's strengthened. And he understands. The Lord opens to him the scriptures. And, you know, you think about some of these that people in the Bible, you read about the quit, they go back and don't walk anymore. Go back over, let's see, did I read everything I wanted to read right there? Yeah, go back over to chapter 2. Chapter number 2. I've got about 10 minutes. Relax just a few minutes, and then I'll go through this, and then you can get up and walk around a little bit. Philippians chapter 2. Now, think about Christ, what we talked about so far. Philippians 2 verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Verse 9. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Folks, you do realize in John chapter 5, I believe it's verse 22, Jesus Christ becomes the judge. The Father judges no one. All judgment's committed to the Son. The judgment seat of Christ, when we go out to meet the Lord in the air, look at the chart, my drawing ain't that great. When we go to meet the Lord in the air, Jesus Christ, he's the judge of the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment of the nations, Jesus Christ. He's going to judge the nations. At the white throne judgment, he's going to be the judge. All judgments committed unto the Son. And this verse says, 11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Look at verse 12. What's that first word? Wherefore. Paul says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He's not telling you to work out so you can get your salvation so you can go to heaven one day. He's talking about that salvation that you got when you believed that Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose again. That salvation he freely gave you, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Work that thing out in your life on a daily basis as you live. Live that resurrected life in Christ Jesus and bring honor to him. Folks, listen, I know we live in a wicked world. Let's close with Romans chapter number 8. I know we live in a wicked world. We live in some times when there's another shooting yesterday, I think. My wife was telling me she had seen some stuff on Facebook or something about another shooting, mass shooting. We live in a society, folks, where things are just going to be bad. I mean, you look at what this society believes. You think about what some of the leaders want to portray. We need men and women sounding out God's word rightly divided, sounding out the truth of God's word that others may know. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter how bad it all gets. You see, I think about life. I see my dad. Some of you know my dad's got Alzheimer's. He's halfway into the stage of Alzheimer's, they say, halfway into the disease. And I see my dad, who's worked hard all of his life, always been a provider for his family, always took care of his family, always took us to church, even though it was not a rightly divided church. I got saved 7 times, I think, growing up. I think I got water baptized about 15 times, so I don't know. I don't remember how many. I got baptized a bunch. One of the brethren up at Chicago told me at the conference in April, he said, I heard you say when you got baptized, you want to get baptized one time when you had a cast on your foot and your mama wouldn't let you. Yeah, that's true. I truly got saved the night I got saved. I don't have time really to give you my testimony, but I can tell you sometime sitting around, I truly trusted Christ. I went to see a preacher one night. Listen, I will say this. If you understand the gospel, never ever fail to share the gospel with someone. I went to a preacher's house one night to get saved. And the only thing he told me was, he patted me on the back, he said, you know what you need to do. Well, I growed up in that church as a child. And I guess he figured I'd been there long enough, I'd heard everything. But you don't figure stuff like that. He didn't tell me anything. So I get down and I pray. And that night, I said, God, the only thing I know to do is tell you I'm a sinner. I know I'm going to hell if you don't help me. And that's what I prayed. And when I got up, I didn't feel any different, you know. I thought, man, I thought I should feel different. And then I said, y'all going anywhere? I was like, sit and talk with you a little bit. We sat and talked about 45 minutes. It was nothing about salvation, nothing about the Bible. It was about everybody in the church. That night when I left that place, listen, I was a confused young man, but I got saved that night. As I left that man's house, I looked up toward heaven. And I said, God, if I die, take care of me, please. I'm trusting you. That's all I knew to do, because he didn't help me much. Went home, told my mom and dad I got saved. You know what? What I done was genuine, because I had faith in God that night in Christ. I knew that he died on the cross, but I really didn't understand everything. But the very next morning, I never stood up. I rolled right out of bed onto my knees and began to thank Jesus Christ for saving me. I was telling people, work out there, I got saved. That woman boy said, you a saint now, ain't you? I said, I don't know about that, but I know I'm going to heaven. And I wound up learning that I was a saint. Trust Christ. Don't die and go to hell. And there's enough people around here. If you need help, I'm sure somebody in here, one of these preachers can help you. I'll help you. If you don't know Christ, trust him. Get the information and trust him before you leave here. Because you see, it doesn't matter how bad the world gets, as bad as it is, society's getting bad. But folks, listen, society needs a voice. Society needs somebody to shout out. Charlotte's growing by 66 people a day, they say. 2,000 people a month are moving into our area. I've been the last week or so trying to get a radio station, find a radio station in Charlotte so we can get the rightly divided word in Charlotte and get that word out there. They had a Easter thing. I was telling someone at breakfast. Had 22 services or either 122 services in a week. where they were calling for all faiths to come together to this thing. You know, we live in, well, I don't. I live in a different county, but Charlotte is Mecklenburg County. And you know what they were calling it? The meeting at Meck. You might get that. Trusting. Your eternal salvation, it doesn't matter how bad the world gets, the voice of God's word needs to be out into the world. And it, as bad as it gets, look at Romans 8. I'll close with these verses. Romans chapter number 8, I don't know, verse number, how about verse 33, it'd be all right. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Thank God, I'm glad he's the one who made me righteous. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Folks, when the love of Christ was shed abroad on us, it was done at the cross. It was done through his suffering, dying our death. And it was revealed to us through the due time testifier. And we have it in the written word of God, which is the perfect word of God. Verse number 38. For I am persuaded. You ever been persuaded of anything? Your apostle Paul was persuaded. God the Holy Spirit's persuaded. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Thank God for the love of Christ. He died for you. He died your death. Trust him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the privilege and opportunity we've had, Lord, to share your word. Take our scattered thoughts and take your word and touch the hearts of the people. It's your word that makes the difference. And we thank you for your love for us. In Christ's name, amen.